I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go. Friday afternoon. It feels great out. Feels so good out, I'm just going to leave it out. Look, it's a great afternoon. It's going to be really nice tomorrow morning and Sunday morning, and this is going to be a beautiful weekend. I hope you're psyched for it. Tulane won last night. LSU has a big game this weekend. Saints have a big game this weekend. We'll be talking about some of the key NFL games and some of the big college games this weekend. Also, tomorrow is Election Day. You got to get out and vote, and we'll be talking about that as well. Okay, right now, reach over there and crank it up. This is what you have been working for. Well, Monday afternoon, I said, don't be bummed out. It's going to be Friday before you know it. And here we go again. Another week has flown by, and it's Friday afternoon. We're heading into the weekend together. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us here on WWL. I want to go back into the newsroom with Ian Ozan. And Ian, look, good catch on that grammar mistake. A lot of people don't know when to say and I or and me.
And here's the problem with it. My old man was an English teacher, so it's ingrained, but you get used to hearing people use the object where a subject should be or vice versa, that even sometimes when I'm doing it, I get myself confused. And in this, the copy has my name in it, so I'm adjusting on the fly trying to adjust. So it slipped out. I caught it. It's like, oh, no. We are going to make sure we get the grammar right, because on the off chance my old man is listening on the Odyssey app, I don't want to get a phone call.
No, listen, I get it. And you know, I think the simple way to remember, like if you say Coleman and me or Coleman and I, which is it? Well, if you eliminate the first thing, would you say me or I?
Correct.
And so that's how you decide whether to say Coleman and me or Coleman and I. If you can eliminate the first part, what would you say, me or I?
Right. And that's, it depends on, again, if you are the subject. In this case, Coleman and I are going to be on the radio this afternoon. Then you would use I, because you are the subject there. Your predicate is will be on the radio. However, if they are part of the predicate, if they are the object, they're receiving the action, Scoot is going to join Coleman and me on the air today. We are receiving that action. That is the object. Scoot is the subject.
Well, you explained that a lot more.
I listened to what both of you said. I'm still confused. I have no idea what's going on. It sounds like gibberish to me.
You explained it in a lot more detail than I did. But yeah, if you eliminate the first part, then you decide whether or not you would say me or I, then that's how you determine whether you say me or I in a sentence.
Correct.
The other thing that bothers me is a lot of people don't understand adverbs. You know, they say,
yeah,
I feel really bad. I feel really badly, because it describes how you feel.
It feels bad. Right. You would have a double adverb there, really badly. And again, the adverb is a word that modifies a verb or another adjective or another adverb.
Right. You got that, Coleman?
No.
You know, I had no idea we'd be starting off Free For All Friday with an English lesson.
Warner's English grammar book. Look, they don't make them anymore. My God, those were the best English grammar language books ever.
There are just a couple of things out there, though. And I make mistakes because it's a live show. It's not scripted, and I'm just talking. But I try to correct myself. So I wanted to applaud you for correcting yourself and doing it right, because those of us on the radio should speak proper English.
Me English is muy mal.
You should, okay. All right, Ian, thanks.
Thank you, Scoot.
We'll talk to you again soon. Hey, listen, really, really sad news today. Moody blues singer John Lodge has passed away, 82 years old. I had many conversations with John Lodge in recent years, right here on WWL. One of them was a great Zoom interview, and, you know, I mean, he got to know me, I got to know him, and I'm just so sorry to hear that he passed away. Apparently, this was totally unexpected. And 82 years old, look, that's not that old. And I don't know that he was dealing with anything, but anything health-wise. But John Lodge was an extraordinary person. In fact, we're going to play either an entire interview, one of the interviews that I did with him recently, or parts of the interview. I'm not sure which, but we're going to get to that this afternoon. John Lodge did not drink and did not do drugs. John Lodge was basically a born-again Christian. He was a devout Christian. He's been married to the same woman all these years of being in rock, all of the temptation. He's been married to the same woman, and that's very admirable. And I talked to him about this, and he was talking about wanting to go to a party one time. And because I asked him, I said, how difficult has it been to not drink or not do drugs in the world that you live in and work in? And he said, you know, it really wasn't that difficult. And there was like he would give an example of there was a big party that he was supposed to go to. And he knew what was going to be going on at the party, and he decided not to go. So I just always thought John Lodge was just an extraordinary person, very, very talented, part of one of the cerebral bands from the past. You know, when they did bands with orchestras, when they did albums and songs with orchestras, it wasn't that unusual for them because they were very sophisticated and their music was sophisticated. And I always had a lot of respect for the Moody Blues. So we'll be talking a little bit more about this afternoon. At some point, we're going to either play back an entire interview or parts of an interview that I did with John recently here on WWL. But John Lodge, dead at the age of 82. And I'm really sorry to hear that because, you know, I just enjoyed every once in a while, you know, I would just have a conversation with John Lodge. And it was really awesome. You know, we had a really great show yesterday. And Rob Schulte, the front man and drummer for the Top Cats, was in the studio with me yesterday talking about his sobriety, talking about his story, sharing his story about, you know, drinking and then, you know, coming to a point where he realized he just couldn't drink anymore. And I remember times when Rob and I used to get plastered together. I mean, we would be out and we would get drunk and I might be with a date or I might be alone. And Rob was with a girlfriend at the time. And there was one time when Rob, you know, I fell down in a parking lot because I was so drunk, and Rob picked me up and carried me, put me in the car, and he and his girlfriend, you know, drove me to my apartment, opened the door, and just kind of pushed me in the stairwell area, and then, you know, I managed to get upstairs in my apartment. But there were many times that Rob kind of saved my life. But those days are over for both of us. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic, but I just decided that, you know, I just didn't want to drink anymore, and I don't drink or do drugs, and very, very happy. But Rob realized that he was an alcoholic, that once he took that first drink, it was over, and he could not drink. And I know as we head into the weekend on this show, I quite often make references to drinking, but I don't think you have to drink to have a good time. And It is part of partying. It's part of what we do in America. And Rob also talked about how difficult it was, how difficult he thought it was going to be, but it wasn't that bad. How difficult he thought it was going to be when he went to a Saints game, because he couldn't imagine going to a Saints game and not drinking beer, like a lot of beer. And he has done that. He is in a business playing music where he's in bars and he's around in clubs and he's around people all the time who are drinking and buying him shots. And I really admire him. He's doing really great because many alcoholics decide that once they quit drinking, they can't be around it. Well, Rob is around it and he's still not drinking and it's over 2 years. And it was a great conversation. I wrote a blog about it. And that blog is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook, and you can read it and comment on it. And it's also linked to the hour that Rob spent with me on the air. And I suggest that you listen to that, especially if you are dealing with some issues. You know, and you might be hiding it from people. You know whether or not you drink too much. You know whether or not you might have a problem. And you're getting away with it, with the people that you live with, the people in your life, the people at work. You're getting away with it, but you know you're drinking too much. And it's not just for fun. It's because you have to. And if you're at that point, I suggest that you read the blog and that you listen to this hour with Rob Schulte from the show yesterday, and it might enlighten you. And, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but Rob pointed this out. There's a lot of help available. There are a lot of people. There are meetings to go to. There are a lot of people who will help you. And the help is really good. This will help you. You don't have to go through this alone. And I know a lot of people who have gone through this. And I respect all of you who have gone through it. And you go to Saints games and you go to LSU games and you don't drink. You go out, you have fun, you go to parties and you simply don't drink. So I respect those of you who have come to that decision. In fact, yesterday I talked about my brother Miles. My younger brother Miles is an alcoholic, and he really kind of hit rock bottom. But I love him and have so much respect for him because he attacked the problem. He went to rehab, and he never looked back. And he sponsors people, he helps people, and talks to people, and he's just a really great inspiration for people who have gone through this issue. And it's a big problem in America. I mean, like 29 million Americans are alcoholics. And, you know, if you go out and you drink and you have fun, and you're not necessarily an alcoholic. If you take one drink and you can't stop, you're an alcoholic. As my brother said, one was too many and 33 wasn't enough. And I'm so proud of him because he's, totally straight now and just loving life. And that's the other thing. Rob is just loving life and talked about being in the present all the time and how cool it was to be in the present. And then I brought up people like Nikki Six from Motley Crue, who is clean and sober, Elton John. And these people just talk about how great it is to be on stage. And the blog that I wrote is titled Life After Drinking. Rob Schulte of the Top Cats, shares his story. So check it out at WWL.com. Also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on it there and also listen to the hour that we spent. All right, got to get to a break here. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. Congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. They beat East Carolina 26-19 last night at Yulman Stadium. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. I wasn't overly impressed with Tulane, but they did win the game, which is good. We'll talk more about that and LSU and the Saints. But coming up, we're going to talk to NOPD Chief Ann Kirkpatrick about the consent decree and the idea that this may be coming to an end. And what will that mean for NOPD? I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWE.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it is a beautiful free-for-all Friday. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad all of you are with us this afternoon. Thank you for being with us on a regular basis. So the city of New Orleans has been under a consent decree. Now, why did this happen? This happened because NOPD, was showing a pattern of unconstitutional policing, excessive force, illegal stops and searches, racial profiling, and corruption. So a 2011 Department of Justice investigation found all of this as a pattern in NOPD. And the agreement was intended to force these basic reforms in almost every aspect of NOPD's operations to make sure that they're following the Constitution. And this was about really professional policing standards. Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick joins us on WWL. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You know, I enjoy running into you occasionally when you're walking through the French Quarter, and you're always so nice and always happy to just take a moment and chat.
Well, you're very considerate to say that, but I'm always happy to talk to anyone who wants to talk to me.
Oh, so I'm not special, just anybody. I'll talk to anybody. For the heck, I'm not special at all. Listen, Chief, I want to talk to you before we get into the consent decree.
Sure.
I want to talk to you about just this horrific accident that happened in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
And this witness is just distraught over this 61-year-old Uber driver killed in the French Quarter, the carjacking, the vehicle was dragging the carjacker, which took off and was dragging the victim, and the car flipped over on top of the victim, and the witness is really distraught over this. It was just a horrible event.
Well, I just happened to come from a meeting to see that video. It is captured on video. It is horrific, and I can imagine why anyone who would have been a witness to that is going to be pretty traumatized by it. And so I'm very sorry for the family of the victim, friends of the victim, but I think we will be able to capture this perpetrator and hold that person accountable, because that's murder. That's flat out murder.
Yeah, it's just it's a horrible thing. And, you know, this is one of those random things that happens that really sends a chill up everybody's spine.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right, Chief, let's talk for a little bit about the consent decree. This came about because of the way NOPD was acting, and that there was a lot of unconstitutional policing going on, according to the Department of Justice investigation. This has really, in a lot of ways, it's hampered NOPD in doing its job. If the consent decree is lifted, how is this going to help NOPD and help you?
Well, I think that because we do have to always ask permission, if you will, of federal monitors and the Department of Justice, anytime we want to make any change to a policy or anything that we think we would want to do business a little bit differently, when you're under federal oversight, it is a matter of checks and balances, and you cannot just unilaterally make certain changes. So the positive will be that we will be able to kind of be our own keepers, be accountable to ourselves, and we don't have to go through so many checks and balances. As a matter of fact, we won't have to go through any checks and balances anymore.
Have you dealt with a consent decree in the past in your career?
I have. Oakland has what they call a negotiated settlement agreement, which means it was brought forward by private parties, but it's under federal oversight. The city of Oakland has been under federal oversight for 22 years.
Wow.
And I know. And we have been under for 12 years. When I was with Chicago, they were just going through their pattern of practice violations, and it was recommended by the Department of Justice to also go under federal consent, under oversight. They are currently under state oversight.
From your perspective as police chief, do you see evidence that the consent decree no longer needs to be in effect for NOPD?
I would say that is true. Now, I am someone who thinks that the power of consent decrees can help and has helped many agencies, and many cities actually, I think, benefit from being under federal oversight. I think that New Orleans has benefited, although New Orleans has now, I think for quite some time, been able to show proof that there is the change, the reform has taken place in this agency. So whether or not there's a consent anymore or the check and balance of answering to a federal judge, I do not think is necessary. I think there's been a culture shift in the department.
Is this going to help with recruiting?
I think so, in some respects. There's a yes and no in me on that. I think young people have no idea when they apply for a police department what a consent decree is. Yeah. Therefore, I'm not so sure that it's always been a hamper that some people think it is. However, it can, I think, help that you don't have the same kind of oversight.
And under your guidance, if the consent decree is lifted, we should all have confidence that NOPD is not going to go back to its old ways.
It's not going to go back to its old ways because the culture has changed. And when you have a change of culture, you have a change of mindset.
Yeah.
And yes, we have best practices associated with our policies that help govern behavior and expectations. So I do not see at all a retreat to culturally going back to the old ways. We're always going to have individuals who are going to violate a policy or maybe they're a bad actor. That will be individuals. That will not be the culture of this police department, no matter who sits in the seat as the next superintendent for years to come.
All of the candidates have said that if they become mayor, they're going to retain you. That it's a tremendous compliment, and you should feel great about that.
I'm very complimented. I would like to stay. I've made it public that I would like to stay. But, you know, there's a season in time for every superintendent. I've been here 2 years. I'd like to have a little bit longer, but I would also like to be a part of preparing the next superintendent, who I hope is from the inside, take over the next season.
Well, you're doing a great job, and we would like you to stay. What's been the biggest challenge as you've come in to be the police chief of NOPD?
I think the biggest right now, I had three top goals, and one has been a problem with getting recruiting. We've got to have the right people come to the table, and yes, we have vacancies. But I refuse to just fill a vacancy. They've got to be the right person who mm-hmm. wants to serve this community. And there are a lot of times people who think they would make good police officers and in the long run, probably not suitable. Doesn't mean that they're not great people, but that might not be a match for what we need in this city.
Right. So where are you now in terms of officers and how many would you like to have?
Yeah. The goal is 1,200, and I know that there have been some thinking out there that how did you choose that pie in the sky? The reason I have chosen the 1,200 mark is that because at the 1,200 mark, 1,200, when New Orleans dropped below 1,200, it impacted the pension system. And the city actually pays a fine to the state pension system for being below 1,200 officers. We are right now just above 900. We have quite a ways to go to get back to the 1,200, but we at minimum, the city needs to be at 1,200. And then we need to do some staffing surveys, not surveys, but staffing studies on what is the right size for the department. Yeah. But 1,200 is the minimum mark, and that's a pension issue.
Yeah. Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, thank you for your time. And I'm going to still always feel like I'm special when you stop to talk to me if I see you in the French Quarter.
I will give you a special high. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you being with us. Thank you. All right. NOPD Chief Ann Kirkpatrick. I think it really was a tremendous compliment that all of the top three candidates all said that if they are, and this was a question, and the reason that this was a question during the debates was because there is this general consensus that Ann Kirkpatrick is doing a hell of a job as NOPD chief. She's not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but she seems to be doing a heck of a job. And so for all of them to say that they will retain her, I think that's just a tremendous vote of confidence and should make her feel really good. You know, I hope she hangs around for at least a few more years and maybe longer than that, because, again, it does seem like she's doing a great job. Yeah, this accident that happened in the quarter with this Uber driver is just horrific, and it's it's one of those that just makes you wonder how these people are allowed to just, well, I mean, if they don't do anything wrong to where they get caught, then they're allowed to be among us. But you just wonder how people get to the point where their thinking is such that this is something that they're going to get away with. This is something that they're going to try and do it, and they're going to try and get away with it. And, you know, maybe some of them don't even care if they go to jail. Maybe going to jail is not that bad for some people, which is really sad. But boy, the eyewitness to this deadly carjacking in the French Quarter, dragging this Uber driver, this was really hard for the witnesses to see. It happened at 8:30 in the evening, intersection of Burgundy and Bienville. I mean, this is in the upper part of the French Quarter, just off of Rampart Street. And the driver, tried to stop the carjacker, but the driver drove off dragging him. It reminds me of the Linda Fricke case where the carjackers, took off and she was caught in her seatbelt and they dragged her to her death. And it really, really tragic incident. And these two things are so random. You know, that's one thing that makes people nervous. And that's why we're hearing right now that the perception of crime is that crime is still high and still a problem, even though the statistics show that in New Orleans, crime is down. So I understand that. And it's because of things like this. But, you know, when you look at the percentages involved, there's little chance that this is going to happen to you. But that still doesn't stop a lot of people from being concerned. All right, it's Free for All Friday. You know, sometimes we have some serious things to deal with on a Friday, and I really appreciate the police chief taking time to spend with us this afternoon talking about the consent decree, which may be coming to an end. So if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. So I posted a video on Substack, Scoot on the Air Substack, and I would invite you to download the Substack app and then find Scoot on the Air and subscribe, become one of our subscribers. And I also invite you to comment on the videos that I post, whether you agree or disagree. It's Substack. Download the app and find Scoot on the Air and be a subscriber. And I'll always be there trying to tell you the truth and being honest about things. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about what I posted yesterday, but also you may have heard this, maybe you haven't heard this, but there's a foreign country that is going to have a military base with their jets on American soil. That makes me a little uneasy. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I love this song. I do. I actually did learn the dance, the electric slide. But, well, I know that in the stupid shuffle. I think it's the Cupid shuffle, but yeah, I learned those two line dances. I'm not always proud to do them in public. But hey, look, at some point this weekend, if you're going to a wedding, if you're going to any kind of a festival or something like that, there's a good chance the band's going to play the electric slide, and you'll be doing that this weekend. So when you do that, think about that. We played this. This is the electric boogie?
Yeah, the electric slide is, I think, a different song, isn't it?
This sounds like No, not really. See if you can find the electric. No, this is the electric slide.
So the electric slide is the dance, but the electric boogie is the song?
I don't know. See if you can search for
it. There is a song in here, the electric slide.
Okay, well, play that. I think it's the same thing, because this sounds like the song that I danced
to.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Yeah, so the song is the boogie, the slide is the dance.
But this is the song, the electric slide.
Yeah, but it's by one of those weird cover bands
on
Spotify, the hit crew. You know, they like just do covers of popular songs. Yeah, that's not Marsha Griffiths.
Yeah.
Well, I like the original better anyway.
Of the line dance songs, I like the electric slide. I actually like the song itself. All right, so look, here's some really good news. According to the experts, it appears as if we're going to have a really great crawfish season. And I guess that's going to be next year, right? Because this is not crawfish season. Mike Strain says that the good news is, for those who love crawfish, they were hearing some really good news that the number of crawfish farmers, have been increasing acreage, and that means more crawfish, and it looks like the weather and the rice crop have been good, and if we get enough rainfall, it could be a bumper crop of crawfish, and that's from Louisiana Agricultural Commissioner Mike Strain. So that is good news and something to look forward to. So I posted a video on Scoot on the Air Substack yesterday, and it is about the people who are trying to stop the Epstein files from being released. What they're doing is they're covering up for pedophiles. It's the simple way to put it. There's no other way to put it. And Mike Johnson, by failing to swear in this Democrat from Arizona, he is actively participating in protecting and covering up old men having sex with underage girls. There's no simpler way to put it. And that is factually what's happening. Mike Johnson has sworn in Republicans, but he doesn't want to swear in this woman because she could be the deciding vote that causes the Epstein files to be released. And I also point out in the video I did on Substack that it's interesting to me the extent to which everybody seems to be going to make sure the Epstein files are not released. There's something in there. There's something in those files that some people don't want to get out. I don't know what it is. I can speculate just like you. But, I mean, even diehard Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene is criticizing her own party for not releasing the files. But for some reason, there seems to be this great desire to make sure that the Epstein files are not released, to the point where this is unprecedented that a Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is not swearing in this woman just because he doesn't want her to be able to vote. I mean, it's politics at play, but it's the reason for doing this is so blatant. It's to keep the files from being released. So there's got to be a reason, which causes us all to wonder what's the reason. Secretary of Defense, although it's now, I think, officially, unofficially, Secretary of War. You know, the president decided he didn't like Secretary of Defense, didn't like the Defense Department. He wanted it to be the War Department. That sounded more macho. It sounded tougher, not defense. No, it's not about defense. It's about war. It's about war. It's about war. We go after people. So anyway, Secretary of War, Defense, Pete Hegseth announced today that the Pentagon has agreed to allow a new Qatari Air Force facility to be built and maintained in Idaho. Now, I think this is going to have to do with training the pilots, the F-15 pilots, but also this was apparently a part of the deal, the peace deal with Gaza, that Qatar was involved in that, and this was part of that, like that if this worked out, then we would let you do this. Who knows, it might be part of it might be part of the down payment on the plane that the Qatari government family gave to the current president. And I don't know. There's something about a foreign government, you know, because those governments over there, as clean as some of them might seem, I worry about their connection with terrorists. And I worry about the Qatari family or their military. Well, there's really no difference between the Qatari family and the Qatari government. But I worry about a foreign government having a base with fighter jets on American soil. Maybe I'm just a little overly paranoid. I don't think so. But that's a little concerning to me. So we'll have to watch and see where that goes. When we come back after the top of the hour, well, actually, we have a guest coming up in the next hour, Jordan Blue. This was somebody who was on the TV show America's Got Talent, and he did a great job on America's Got Talent. He's been asked to tour with the band The Script. You know, the Break Even was the big song The Script did. You know, when you break up and you don't break even, and I Got Time and She Got Freedom. You know, that's a great song. And he apparently is going to be touring with them. But he's from New Orleans, and he's going to be in our studio coming up in the next hour. But he was part of America's Got Talent. He's 23 years old and has a great career ahead of him. So we're going to talk to him in the next hour. And then later in the show, I'm going to play one of the last interviews that I did, and I've done several with him. One of the last interviews I did with John Lodge of the Moody Blues. If you haven't heard, John Lodge has passed away at the age of 82. It was unexpected, and last time I saw him, he was just doing great. So, last time I saw him in a Zoom video. All right, let's get to a break here, and we'll come back to wrap up this hour, and we've got a lot coming up in the next hour. Hey, doesn't this weather feel awesome? A New Orleans singer who finished third on America's Got Talent, has got a really great story. He joins us live in the studio coming up next. I'm Scoot on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.